This special bonus episode of She Explores is brought to you by UST. If you're not familiar with UST, they're making a name in the camping world by creating gear that helps everyone get outside and enjoy the outdoors, which is super important to us here on She Explores. In the past several years, UST has been able to focus their intentions towards the things that matter to them most. Things like inclusion and diversity, sustainability, accessibility, quality gear, and beautifully creative storytelling. We believe in all of that too. So when they wanted to support a catch-up series with past guests of She Explores you haven't heard from in a while, it felt like a win-win. Plus, their camping gear is colorful, fun, and inviting. So pull up a camping pad and stay a while. Learn more at ustgear.com and follow along on Instagram at ustgear. I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to a bonus episode of She Explores. This is the second of four catch-up interviews we're doing with past guests of She Explores. They take place on Instagram Live, but we also wanted to give you the opportunity to listen to them here, too. Today's minisode features Aaron Sullivan, the creative behind Aaron Outdoors. Aaron was first on the podcast back in 2017, exactly 4 years ago, in fact, which is wild. I remember sitting on my living room floor having the conversation with her and feeling very nervous. Of course, I still get nervous for interviews, but that's a whole nother story. Back then, Aaron talked about her not-so-straight path to a creative career, finding inspiration in the outdoors. Aaron's done a whole lot since then, hosting a video series with REI called Inner Nature, honing her craft of photography, and continuing to find her spark in creative work both close to and far from her home base of Los Angeles. Aaron's someone I admire for her commitment to trying new things and for working on her personal growth and development. She's also not shy about sharing what she's learned with others, and you'll find that in our catch-up today. We talked about moving through a challenging year, and Aaron came through with a lot of practical advice for anyone who recharges through creativity and time in nature. I hope you enjoy catching up with Aaron as much as I did.
Morning. Hey.
Hey. How are you doing?
Doing well, just in the middle of a shoot this week and happy to be just catching up with you.
Me too. Well, for anyone who's just tuning in, I'm Gail. I'm the host and creator of She Explores, and I'm really privileged to be on with Aaron Sullivan, who is an outdoor creative, photographer. I feel like you're like a multimedia creator. I'm not sure how you self-identify these days,
but yeah,
it's super exciting to be on with you.
Thank you. Yeah, I was reflecting on that because our conversation on the podcast would have been like 4 years ago, which is wild. And I was still fairly fresh into my professional photography career. But I've always kind of worked in this space between travel and the outdoors, photography and technology and the tools that we use to create, and personal development, personal growth, creativity, inspiration, those kinds of things. So just thinking about where I fall in that triangle lately.
And you could also just be Aaron creating beautiful
it's
things.
True. Yep.
But so happy, like I said already, to have you on. And I really wanted to talk to you about what creativity has meant to you this past year. I'm sure that you've gone through some ups and downs like we all have throughout this pandemic, but how have you been able to stay creatively motivated and inspired throughout the last 12 months?
Yeah, great question. Creativity to me, oh man, well, some of you may know that I'm a travel photographer. I work a lot in the outdoors. My work and where I get a lot of inspiration is outside of my house. So in the pandemic, I've been inside a lot in my house in LA. And I've really tried to stretch myself creatively and recognize that creativity can come from anywhere and that it is limitless. So for me, it's meant a lot more flexibility, a lot less labels on it. less pressure on myself and just very gentle, being as gentle as I can with myself and giving myself space to create and not judge the outcome.
Would you say you're someone who puts a lot of pressure on yourself to create, to put work out, you know, across multiple platforms? I know that you're on, I can hardly just manage like a couple of different platforms, but you're on, I feel like, every different social media platform out there.
Yeah, it's hard to balance it all, right? I naturally do put a lot of pressure on myself. If anybody follows the Enneagram or is aware of the Enneagram, I'm a 3-wing 4. The 3 is the achiever. So I love to be productive and I get a lot of value there naturally. So it's something that I have to push back on myself about, because sometimes I fall into this negative spiral of, well, if I'm not making anything, then I'm not valuable or I don't have worth. And so I've really tried to remember that rest is a feature of creativity and a feature of productivity. And so is this period of like marination and sitting with ideas and sitting with yourself. So that's how I've tried to manage that. Just a lot of caring for myself, for my inner child, for my inner creative, my inner artist, which looks different every day.
Oh, I really love that word marinate. I use it a lot. And I don't feel like our culture gives us enough opportunity to marinate, to come up with those ideas. Like, and also just to sit and process, you know, what we may have just created. It feels like there's this pressure to just jump right into the next thing. So I really appreciate that you called that out and that that's something that you think about too.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of external pressure, and honestly, spending less time on social media, less time on screens. I saw a great post yesterday that was like, I don't know if you all have seen like the new Instagram algorithm and like share, save, like, comment, like, here's what you have to do to get your content to. And this artist had just like scribbled all over it and was like, or just do what you want. And I do know that, you know, people have jobs on social media, but I mean, yeah, we're up against these algorithms and it's like, we have to figure out what works for us and not succumb to the pressure of being on all platforms or posting a certain cadence, you know. It's a road to burnout.
Yep. And it's really hard to rebuild after that. I feel like I've had so many different sites of burnout, and I don't know that I've totally rebuilt at this point.
Yeah, it's really hard to come back from. I mean, it's definitely happened to me. I think it's happened to anyone who would self-identify as a creative or who creates something for the world, share something with the world. And your body will let you know when you've gone too far. And it takes a long time to come back from that. So before you get to that point, really take care of yourself and really take breaks and really rest. And especially, I mean, I've been thinking a lot about the time that we're in with the pandemic, and also that probably every generation thought, oh my God, the world is exploding. It's the worst ever. You know, I think that every generation might have had something like this, some experience like this, that's like an unprecedented time. And they've gotten through it. And yeah, I don't remember where I was going with that actually. We will get through it. We will, and you have to give yourself grace. You have to remember that a lot of these pressures of social media and of like, you have to post this certain time, you have to share this much content. It's all made by us, by humans, right?
I'm the queen of losing my train of thought, so don't feel bad. I'm always like, wait, where did I start? And then I thought about something totally different. Now I'm like,
happens to me all the time. So hopefully you guys got something, but if not, it's fine.
All good. Well, I think a lot of people get a lot from all the different work that you put out. I was also curious to hear about what your relationship with the outdoors has been like. I actually just hosted our first Clubhouse event last night.
Yeah.
And everyone talked about their different experiences over the past 12 months and how the outdoors has helped or felt like another pressure point, you know, in wanting to, you know, achieve or like find themselves outdoors or put, my friend Anna Brona sent me an article yesterday too, that was it was kind of a joke article about how much pressure we're putting on even like our daily walk, you know, to kind of give us everything that we need. And I am guilty of that too, but what has your relationship been like with the outdoors over the past 12 months?
I think the same, it's very similar to my relationship with creativity and with my work. It's a lot less pressure. It's a lot less structured. There's a lot more flexibility. So I'm not really doing, and in general, I'm not a climber. I'm not like a mountain biker. I've never done a through hike. You know, I don't consider myself to be this super outdoorsy person. So my relationship with the outdoors continues to be very gentle. Sometimes my relationship to the outdoors is sitting next to a window or looking at a plant or, you know, bird watching in the park. So yeah, it just continues to, be full of grace and helps me remember who I am. So I do try to get outside, but it is hard. Like you said, these things end up on our to-do list and can become something like, oh, I have to go on my walk. So it helps to remember why we do these things and why they're good for us in these times. And we did an episode early on when I was hosting In Our Nature for REI. We did an episode about how being indoors so much is affecting us, like as humans. It really, really does have some physiological effects. So it does make a huge difference to get outdoors and connect with nature and just like regulate your body in that way. How about you?
Oh, how about me? Oh, I always, whenever things get turned around, I'm like,
sorry.
No, I love it though. I appreciate it too. And it's also not fair, like how much pressure does an interviewer put on the interviewee to like carry a conversation? And I appreciate that you turned it on me. Oh, it's been hard for me, I would say. I shared that last night too. Like I did have the privilege to travel through the work that I do with She Explores. Like I've had projects that have taken me, you know, even just to Colorado for outdoor retailer or out west to visit friends. And to often those are the times that I would kind of store up and do those bigger outdoor trips or actually go on that backpacking trip and take those opportunities. So to now have been in New England and mostly New Hampshire for the past 12 months, I haven't been on a plane since early March last year. And I have had a harder time kind of breaking free from the grind of the work that I love, you know, but to actually,
it's really easy to get sucked in.
Yeah. And putting together podcasts and editing and, you know, it all takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of time and it takes a lot of energy, and I haven't always had enough marinating time. A lot of that marination typically does come through those like gentler outdoor experiences too. I think we have that in common. So I'm hopeful that I can continue to build in that time, but I still struggle. I just struggle with it. But where I don't have those chunks of time that are kind of dedicated to that, I need to like make those chunks for myself.
Yeah. What I'm hearing, and I totally relate, is just that we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, even when it comes to, I have to make sure that I get outside today, which is so sad, because it should be something that we look forward to. And that's like a moment, allowing ourselves to enjoy it. Something that I'm really thinking about lately is, am I really allowing myself to enjoy this moment? And really trying to come back to the present, because when I'm in the present, I'm not judging myself for whatever I'm doing in that moment. And I'm not thinking I should be doing something else because I'm fully here.
How do you call yourself back to that when you do you find yourself kind of floating away from the present?
What really helps me is paying attention to my body. So like, what is my butt sitting on, or are my feet like putting my feet on the ground, or noticing things around me, and calling myself back that way. And just recognizing, like, I know that judging myself for something that I do, maybe you all will relate, but if I'm working on a project, I'll be like, I should be working on this other project. And then if I'm working on the other project, I'm like, I should be working on this other project. And it's just so much judgment. I'm like, wait, this doesn't actually benefit me because I'm not fully present. I'm not fully working on the thing that's in front of me, or I'm not fully with the person who's in front of me, or with the moment that is in front of me. So what helps call me back is really that, like, paying attention to what can I feel? What can I smell? What can I see? Like, what's the light on that tree outside my window doing? You know, taking a drink of water, taking some conscious breaths, and bringing myself back that way is helpful.
Oh, that's great advice. I did see a couple of questions come in. So if you have a few more minutes, I would love to. So Mall_Kettle asks, how do you balance being creative for yourself and sharing so much?
Great question. I think I'm creative first for myself. So my series throughout the pandemic is called Our Great Indoors, and it's all miniature work. And I have my new studio here behind me that I'm going to be shooting on today. But Our Great Indoors started as a personal project. It started as something because I know that if I'm not working on something creative, that will not be good for my mental health, and I will feel blocked, and I will be very inclined to accept depression and anxiety's invitations to spiral into darkness.
So open door.
Oh yeah, I'm
like always open.
I'm coming in, you know. So it's, I know for myself that staying creative is really the right thing to do in that regard. And so when my calendar started really evaporating in March of 2020, I started thinking, okay, well, how can I be creative? And it really started as something personal and something that I connected to. And then I started sharing it from there. But sometimes I sit with my work for a little while before I share it publicly. I think you can kind of put a strainer or a filter. You can put your work through a filter and say, okay, do I want to share this? If so, how? If so, why? And approach it that way. And then, of course, there will also be projects, probably, depending on what field you're in, that you do for a client that maybe you don't share. Or maybe you have to share, but it's like not what really makes your soul sing. But that's kind of a necessary factor in work. So that's also the case. So I think it's always going to be kind of on this scale, between personal work and work that you do for work, work that you do for a client, and where your excitement lies and sharing that is up to you. And something that I think is a case by case basis, depending on what the work is.
Have you ever had a creative project that you love, that you really put your whole self into, and you continue making it, and it continued being successful and resonating with people, but over time you found yourself pulling away from, like, finding interest in? Have you ever had that happen? And if so, like, how did you manage that? Kind of falling in love with something that you love?
Yeah, great one. I think that happens a little bit. It's happening a little bit right now, even with Our Great Indoors, with the miniatures, because I started that as a personal project. It really took off. Like, it went bananas viral, which I wasn't expecting, and which, like, you can't expect when something goes viral. It just kind of has a mind of its own. and then all of my clients were like, we want to be involved too. How can, like, we want to do this, because people were looking for unique ways to, you know, develop new imagery with that, like, within the confines of the pandemic. And over time, like, it did kind of become like, oh, now I feel like it's something I have to do. So I have to reconnect with the why of the project. And I do still love it, but I am, when I create scenes for this project that are not my client based, that are like, because I truly love it, and because it helps me stay creative, and because I'm curious to work with a certain material, it just helps me to go back to the why I started the project. And then usually when I'm in the moment shooting, when I'm in the moment creating, I just enter a flow state, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's why I love this. So I almost think we talk ourselves out of it before like while we're preparing to continue that project or preparing to do that thing. And also there's something to be said for mixing it up. You know, I have coloring books and I cook, sometimes I like make recipes and I, plant house plants and, you know, those are all creative activities in my opinion. And so sometimes I think it helps to get out of your craft and to, experiment elsewhere so that when you come back to the thing that you do, you can do so with new eyes.
Yeah. And then you're not putting all that pressure on.
Yeah, exactly. And also I think as creatives, there's so much pressure to like, oh, you have a new hobby, you should make it a side hustle and put it on Etsy. It's like, no, you don't have to make money from everything that you do. You could just make bath bombs because it's fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, fun of a gift if you
right. Or, you know, you can bake because you enjoy it. We're allowed to just enjoy things without making them into a side hustle.
Yeah, that's why I love making ice cream. That's my thing.
Cool. Love that.
Yeah, maybe someday I'll have an ice cream store, but I do not have time for that.
Hey, great. You know, I think that's, it's so important to have hobbies. My sponsor in my 12-step program is like constantly on me about that. I need hobbies. And I'm like, yeah, I really do.
Well, Erin, thank you so much for taking the time to chat. Like, it went by so fast. It's nice just to see your face, hear your voice. Hopefully I can have you on the podcast again.
I would love to. And I really appreciate everybody's time for tuning in. And I hope that you all are finding joy and rest and grace this week.
Thanks for being here and listening. And thanks to Erin for taking the time. You can learn more about Erin Sullivan at erinoutdoors.com and through her Instagram at erinoutdoors. Big thank you to our sponsor for this series, UST. Learn more at ustgear.com. We'll be back soon, but I'll drop some links where we can all stay in touch in the meantime. Until then, stay curious.